Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 43 of the From Pain to Power podcast. I'm really, really glad you're here and hello to any new listeners. I have not said hello and welcomed you in a while, so I am seeing you and hearing you. My name is Lisa. I am a women's health coach and therapeutic practitioner and facilitator, and I specialize in women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain and trauma. And the way that I work is very much about a body-based approach to supporting us to feel good and also a relational approach. So what I mean by that is that I'm looking at our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with our pain or our trauma or whatever it is that you're working towards, and understanding that as always changing, always moving, always fluid, and how we can feel more empowered in our recovery journey and our healing journey with whatever it is that you're going through. So I offer one-to-one coaching. I also have a professional training for anyone who's interested in doing professional training with me. And I do workshops and I've lots of courses and resources on my website. You can click on the link in the bio to look at my website, consider your options for working with me. And if you have any questions, you can get in touch. So today we are going to be having a conversation about trauma. So for anyone who has been listening to me for a while and who has been following my work or who has recently been introduced to my work, I do speak about trauma a lot. So today we're going to kind of keep this short because this is such a big, big topic and I'd like to break it down into several episodes, you know, into bite-sized chunks that you can digest in your own time. We're going to pace ourselves because this is a big topic and it can be very triggering and I don't want to re-traumatize anyone. But yeah, so today we're just going to have a conversation about what trauma is. I'm going to explain my perspective of it, the training that I've received in this work as well, and how I work with it, particularly in the women's health space, because a lot of the trauma world hasn't yet acknowledged kind of the role of the female sex hormones as well in trauma. So we're going to be having a conversation about that. So firstly, why trauma in this work, in my work and in the women's health space? So the reason I personally and professionally came to study and understand and be trained in trauma in my coaching practice is because, well, firstly, I started to realize that some of the traumatic experiences that I personally had in my life were contributors of a lot of suffering for me personally, and they were also blocking me from moving forward. So I'm going to talk about what those were and how that happened. So that's kind of my personal experience with it. And then professionally, the more I was working with individuals, women and people with cycles, the more I could see that, you know, I needed to have more skills than just mindset coaching and education, and that there was a huge opportunity to be trauma trained, which I now am, and to work with supporting people in healing a little bit from trauma as much as they have capacity to and as much as they actually want to and choose to. That's a really important part of it. And that, you know, sometimes when we do cognitive based work, that's all fantastic, and mindset work and education, when I'm offering education to people, it's really great and everything, and those are really empowering tools. But the reality is we are humans with nervous systems and emotions, and we have a history and a past, and the things that have happened to us have an impact on how we show up in the world, how we experience our emotions. And when you consider women's health, especially, it is very much a biochemical experience. The menstrual cycle is all about hormones. And so our body is comprised of lots of chemicals. And the menstrual cycle means that we have changing hormones every month. And when there's trauma, or if someone is, you know, had a lot of experience with trauma, whether that be related to their menstrual cycle or not, it actually doesn't matter. It means that there can be a lot of a biochemical experience in the body that is making the person's life more difficult. It makes the person, you know, can cause suffering in their psychology and their mental health, obviously. And it makes choices and decisions and motivation sometimes non-existent. Okay. So when someone has been through a lot of trauma in their life, that person is very much, or can very much be in like a survival response, in a lot of hopelessness, in a lot of despair. And from a biochemical perspective, there is something happening on a nervous system level in the body that's doing that for a reason. It always makes sense why the body is doing that. And it then makes things like self-care and building intimacy with your menstrual cycle and choosing healthier choices and, you know, even things like getting exercise and having a support network can be very, very difficult when someone is in a kind of a very drastic trauma response in their body. And it can be very difficult then when, say, someone is in that place in themselves and they're suffering, to then read all these self-care books and books about the menstrual cycle and lots of diet advice, but they don't have the energy to like even just put the wash on. Okay. So I'm really, really interested in not overloading people with things to do and information to know, because there's only so much capacity that we have as human beings. We are people with nervous systems. And when we start to work with the trauma, the stuff that's underneath, then when we start to release the trauma and heal, very gently heal trauma, if it is there and if it is appropriate and if that person is ready to do that work, then that can create a lot more space for new energy to come in for choices, options, motivations, supports, and building our capacity. Okay. So I hope that makes sense, but that's essentially the reason why, you know, trauma is just this huge part of my work. It's considered in everything that I do, how I design my business, how I design my practice, how I work with people. And when I am sitting opposite someone and they're struggling with something and they have an experience of trauma, it makes sense to me. There's always a reason why something is happening to them, because when we have trauma, our nervous system, our emotions, our mental health, we go into our defenses because we are in a self-protective mode. So the body is always trying to stay protected. Humans are always trying to survive and to stay safe. That's a really big part of trauma education. And so if someone is really struggling with making choices and actions and doing things differently, it's very often because their system, their nervous system, and their body is in this kind of self-protective environment. Okay, so that's a very long explanation as to why I decided to really devote a lot of my energy into building my practice around trauma and how I've come to understand it, doing my own trauma healing, supporting people on their journeys with trauma, educating myself around it, discerning what works, what doesn't work, and how I educate professionals. And it's also a huge part of my menstrual cycle professional training program, which I now offer. And we're going to be launching 2023 as well this year. So you head on over to my website and add your name onto the waiting list if you're interested in doing professional training with me there. So my own personal kind of awakening to trauma, put very briefly, was it happened several years ago now, when I was, well, obviously, like, I think I believe that everyone has had different levels and experiences of trauma, whether it be like once-off events or systemic trauma or developmental trauma or things that happened in childhood. So it's going to really vary for everyone, but I see life as sort of there's trauma inherent in life. And now trauma will be very different to like just difficult human experiences, but it's trauma is a very common thing. And so if you're listening to this and you're feeling worried or concerned or any kind of panic sits in, just take heart. It's very normal. It's very common. There's a lot of help. You're not alone. And yeah, so just to kind of remind yourself of it is really what like makes us human, unfortunately. Okay. But it doesn't have to be a life sentence, as one of my teachers says. So for me personally, I started to realize that my history with my experience of trauma was still having an impact on my life in the here and now. So for me, there's kind of two areas of my life that were particularly traumatic. One was my professional life, and then the second, it was my romantic life. And I'm not going to go into huge detail about my story. I tend to actually share kind of more personal stories and details when I'm teaching. So that's, you know, I think a more appropriate setting to be in to hear these stories. But for me, generally speaking, I had a very bad experience in the workplace in my early 20s and one of my first professional jobs outside of, you know, after university. It was my kind of first quote unquote real job. And I had a very, very challenging experience. And I was obviously very young at the time and quite vulnerable. And I was working in a bank in London. And anyway, long, long story short, I had to navigate that very difficult experience and I had to get like support from people. And then what happened then was the quote unquote problem went away. You know, the people who were helping me navigate that difficult situation, you know, supported me in making that particular problem no longer be there in my life. And while that is true, at the time, I wasn't obviously as emotionally aware as I am now, like most people. That is called maturing. But one of the ways that I would have coped and learned to navigate my feelings, as is would be very common for a lot of us, was just to kind of like say to myself, oh, well, that's no longer present. So, you know, you can just get on with your life. But I didn't understand that there were a lot of leftover feelings and I was really, really traumatized, but I didn't really acknowledge it for myself. And I was very upset. So I guess what I did was I just shoved all those feelings under the carpet and I bottled it up. And I kind of said to myself, well, aren't you lucky? Aren't you lucky to have gotten out of that situation? And aren't you lucky that it wasn't worse? And then I, you know, got a better job and moved on. So that was sort of what was happening on the surface. But the feelings of that experience never really went away. And I always had a lot of leftover emotions about that particular story. And, you know, there was still a lot of trauma in me. And then anyway, I had several jobs then in my 20s and 30s, and I moved around a little bit in my career. And then when I came into my late 20s and now into my 30s, which I am now, I, as you know, decided to move into self-employment. And when I moved into self-employment at the very start of this journey, which is like several years ago now, I was absolutely exhausted. I was just so tired. I felt really alone. I, you know, found it really, really difficult to motivate myself. And what I was struggling with was confidence and motivation, and particularly around work ethic. I really struggled with work, and I kind of realized that I was really struggling with it wasn't so much the work, because obviously I love this work and I love this topic, but it was with my relationship to, I was really struggling with my relationship to earn a living. And I was really struggling with my relationship with working and kind of with getting things done and having a work ethic. And anyway, it just so happened that at the time, like around that time, I was also reading more and more about hormones, and I was reading more about the nervous system because I was wanting to learn more for my clients and build this practice. And I was educating myself a lot, and I was taking courses still in training. And I came across this theory that I speak about a lot in my work, which is called the polyvagal theory. And this was about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I know that this theory is like become much more mainstream now, so a lot of you will have heard of it, but it's essentially one of the main theories that's used to understand the body and the nervous system and its relationship to trauma and our behaviors and the impact that trauma has on us. And so I was reading about that, and then I realized, oh my God, I've had this really, really traumatic experience nearly 10 years ago, and I'm still being impacted by this. And now as I'm stepping into self-employment, I was really going into what I now know is called the freeze response. And I was stuck in this exhaustion and despair and hopelessness and, you know, struggling to put the wash on. And I didn't particularly enjoy my work, even though I really enjoyed, obviously, the topic of the menstrual cycle and hormones and everything. I could read about that forever, but doing any kind of work in this space was really hard because I'd had that very difficult experience that, you know, the thing that happened really was not okay. And I still see that as not okay. So that's kind of how I began to see the impact of that for me. And then I started working with a trauma therapist who helped me navigate that. And long, long story short, I now myself have trained in trauma, work in somatic experiencing. And I weave lots of tools and skills into my practice. And I take a systemic lens at trauma as well. So I don't only consider the personal story, but also the systems that we live in, the culture, you know, these things, and particularly when it comes to social justice. And that's something that I'll talk about again down the line. So that's my personal kind of very brief history with it. And then I also had quite traumatic experiences romantically as well. And those left me feeling, again, with more lots of unprocessed feelings about dating and relationships. Not as traumatic for me as some of that work stuff, but still very, very challenging. And then that, of course, had an impact on my sense of safety in relationships and in the dating experience. And that's something I had to work through. But thankfully, I'm very happy in my relationship now with my partner, Richard. So, and that's, again, another thing we can talk about down the line is trauma and dating and relationships and navigating that. Because, again, as you're listening to this, even as I'm speaking to it, I'm feeling the charge of this stuff in my body. And, you know, we really have to pace ourselves and be really gentle. And this is really, really delicate work. And just to mind ourselves and really, really pace ourselves. It's so, so important that we're not, you know, diving in too deep and expecting a lot of ourselves, and that we practice self-care at the core of all of this, and that we get support. Okay, so hopefully that shines a little light on me and my story, and also my professional practice. And so I want to come to this question of the title of this podcast, like, what is trauma? I personally, professionally, define it as an emotional, physical, and or psychological experience that overrode our capacity in our nervous system. So what I mean by overrode is that our capacity for experiencing those feelings and the experience of whatever happened, you know, overflowed, if you will. So like, if something happens to me in my day that pisses me off, I'll move through those feelings and navigate the emotions. Whereas if something really, really intense happens that is too much for me to kind of be with, then my body will start doing things in order to protect me, and sometimes even protect me from feeling those feelings. And that's when we kind of go over the limit in terms of our emotional, psychological, and physical capacity to feel things. You know, like, somebody could give me a shove and I won't really be hurt by it. But if I'm in a car crash, that's completely different. That's going to obviously be like a very physical, mental, psychological, emotional trauma, right, to process. So it's very much about nervous system capacity and what we have capacity for. And so that's like another thing to remember, is that like, everyone will be very different in terms of how they experience trauma and difficult things in life. So that's something to keep in mind. I've also heard another definition around it being the things that weren't heard, witnessed, or supported, and that still have an impact on your life. So if you had, you know, difficult experiences in childhood and you didn't get the support, as Gabor Mate says, it's not so much the event or the story, but the impact that that had on you and what you did or didn't do with that story. So sometimes you can have trauma. I've experienced very traumatic things, but because I had support, I had, you know, like a compassionate witness and someone to talk to, it means that those things no longer really have an impact on me. They still, like, well, they do still impact me, but they're not like, you know, I'm not thinking about them all the time, and my defenses aren't up really high. But the things that happened to us where we didn't get support, or we didn't get our needs met in a particular way, or there was some kind of neglect or harm caused, and then there wasn't like a repair, or we didn't get to process certain feelings around it because we didn't, you know, we didn't have capacity, or we weren't ready, or it wasn't safe to do that, then that then leads to this traumatic impact and effect on our bodies. And by the way, I just want to say, like, in my practice, I certainly do not claim to fully 100% heal trauma. Like, I don't really believe that we can, you know, erase these things and erase the impact. Things will always impact. Like, my own experience in my romantic life and in my professional life, those difficult things that happened to me still impact me, and I still get triggered. So I have to mind myself, but they're not, you know, they're not like driving the car of my daily life. Okay. They're not leaving me feeling on edge, and I'm not thinking about them all the time, and I have resilience and a buffer around them, and I know what to do when I do get triggered, or when something difficult happens that like brings that stuff up from the past. I'm able to catch that in my body and know, you know, sometimes, most of the time, eventually I know what to do and where to go and who I need to get support from. Okay. So now I'm going to go into a little bit of detail about what happens in the body with this trauma. So and you probably heard this before in yoga classes or in meditation classes, or you might have read about this. So in our nervous system, we have three different places we can be. We can be in, you might have heard, the fight or flight response. So that's when something happens, like there's a threat in our environment, and we either fight or we flight, so we can run away. Then we have what's called the freeze response. That's when we are, you know, something happens and the safety to fight or flight isn't there. And then we get sent into freeze. And that very often happens in childhood or in very extreme experiences of trauma. And, you know, I do believe this happens to us all. I understand. Well, I have a sense of my own freeze response. And I certainly was going into freeze with a lot of things. And I had to navigate that. So that's also very common. And again, it's not a bad thing. It's your system protecting you. It's just, you know, your body is keeping you safe and keeping you alive. So it's a really, really good response. And so is the fight or flight response. And then the third response is the rest and digest, or it's also known as the ventral vagal. And that is the place where in your nervous system, when you do feel safe and your defenses are down and there's a sense of ease in your body. And this is the place where, you know, on a biochemical level, we have more capacity for connection with others. There is more capacity for hope. There is more capacity for rest as well, for joy, for creativity. It's the place of options and choices and decision making and feeling of a sense of groundedness and like that you're okay, that everything's going to be okay. You have the capacity to navigate difficult things here. And it's not so much about staying in that, you know, lovely rest and digest place every day. That is not the intention with my work. It's about understanding these responses that we have in our nervous system. And if we do get sent into a freeze or fight or flight, that we kind of can build this, you know, agility, and that we can move through our nervous system, and that we know our way back to our home and a place of safety in our body. Okay. And so the reason why this is really important when it comes to women's health and menstrual cycle, chronic pain, is because on a biochemical level, if we are spending a lot of time, either like consciously or unconsciously, whether you know it or not, in the fight or flight response or in the freeze response, what's happening there is there's a lot of hormones, stress hormones called cortisol and adrenaline. And they're pumping, and they're doing a really good job. They're pumping out hormones to keep you safe and to protect you. And that can be one of the causes of anxiety and low level anxiety if you are spending a lot of time in these responses. And that can also be the norm, by the way, for some people. Some people's norm is to be in this kind of low level anxiety because of culture and life and not feeling safe in the world. And the problem with that is that an oversupply of cortisol and an oversupply of adrenaline will create more pain signals, can really, really foster an inflammatory environment in the body. And if you already have something like PMDD or PCOS or hormonal stuff going on or endometriosis or even just period pain, when we are in our defenses on that biochemical level, it is not going to be helpful for pain. It can sometimes make pain worse, okay? Not always, but it can. And it's not... Yeah. So that's the reason why I'm really passionate about this. It's a really, really important part of my work. We can, you know, we can read all the books about self-care and the hormones and the menstrual cycle and hormones and do all the things like tick, 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 and like, you know, be really good at all this stuff. But if we have a lot of trauma, or if we're not feeling safe in the world, or, you know, there's a lot of unease in just in who we are and how we show up, or we feel really self-conscious all the time, and that our nervous system has to do a lot of work just to stay safe. There's a lot of like inner holding and a lot of inner tension. And that is a lot of your life force energy going towards survival, as opposed to that life force energy going towards creativity and hope and connection and options and feeling free. Okay. And so that's essentially the reason why I have committed my work to this. Okay, so the last thing I want to say about all this, because this is such a huge, huge topic. And again, I want you to really mind yourself, notice what's happening in your body, even as you're listening to me. And if you are feeling nervous or scared, just, you know, do something kind. It's enough for now just to listen to this one episode. Take your time with these conversations. Don't dive in, because it takes time for your body and your nervous system to process this stuff. And remember, I've been working on this for years, and I work with this professionally, and I have a lot of support. Okay. So this is just for educational purposes, this conversation. But the last thing I want to say with this is, it's something I don't hear enough of in the trauma space, particularly when it comes to women's health, is that the most important part of doing any kind of trauma work is that you feel the person you're working with is supporting your relationship with consent and is supporting your relationship with agency and with your yes and with your no, because it's very much about, and this is why I've called, this is one of the reasons why I've called my podcast From Pain to Power, is that we, you know, as women and people who've experienced depression and, you know, we've experienced trauma at the hands of systems or whatever, it's this returning to our own power is really important. And power doesn't have to be like, you know, you're not sitting on a horse. It can be you understanding why you prefer chocolate ice cream to vanilla ice cream, or having a real like somatic, like a body felt sense, knowing that you would prefer a coffee over a tea. Right. And I know that's a really simple example. And sometimes I know those decisions can be really hard to make, but I'm using that as a kind of a simple example, so that when you are sitting looking for a coach or looking for a therapist or choosing a course, that you are working with somebody who understands that your relationship with your yes and your no actually is more important. So you don't have to process all of your trauma. You do not have to process all the difficult things that happen to you. You get to choose. You get to be in the driver's seat. And you have to decide when you are ready to move to the next step, or to hit pause, or to take a break, or to explore something more deeply. And just to kind of get a felt sense, knowing in your nervous system of your own capacity and your yes and your no around that. So that's really, really important. Because I think the trauma world kind of unconsciously implies this message that, like, oh, if you heal all your trauma and you excavate all the things, then you'll feel better. But actually, it's not that. Sometimes it's really that renegotiation of consent is actually the most important thing. And at least it has been for me. And that's something that I talk about a lot in my professional training. So anyway, if you are interested in working with me, as I said before, I have space in my one-to-one practice. You can hit the link down below in the show notes. I'm also offering grants for anyone who needs some financial support to access that as well, which I'm really excited about. And they're more or less open to everyone, but you can read up on those on my website. And then I have a workshop coming up at the end of the month as well. You can check that out. That is for anyone wanting to explore menstrual cycle suffering, period pain, endometriosis, and your relationship with that. And then I have my 2023 menstrual cycle facilitation and coaching professional training. So you can check that out. That's now an 8-month course. And yeah, you can always reach out to me, lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. Have a lovely, lovely rest of your week, and I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.